Well, hello there, and welcome to the Mill Housing Nation podcast, where we help military families PCS better. I'm your host, Lindsay Litton. Over the next 20 minutes, we're dishing out tips, tricks, and actionable steps you can implement to make your next PCS an easy one. From interviews with military real estate experts to fellow powerhouse military spouses, we're highlighting some of the major issues that impact military families when they move. And before we get started, a quick shout out to our sponsor, Mill Housing Network. Mill Housing Network helps match military families with local military real estate experts all over the United States. If you're considering buying or selling a home, connect with Mill Housing Network online at milhousingnetwork.com or visit us on Facebook. So let's dive in. Today's guest is a fellow military spouse, friend, and program manager with National Military Family Association, Miss Allie Jones.
Hi, Lindsay. Thank you for having me, and thank you so much to the Mill Housing Nation for having me. I've been a fan since I've met you, and I'm just honored to be here, so thanks.
Well, I'm excited, and Miss Allie Jones has some exciting news, not only as a military spouse, as a PCSing military spouse.
A pregnant military spouse.
So, and it's her first baby.
Yes, lots of things are happening. Our household goods were picked up yesterday. I leave here and go to close on our house. Just had a baby shower, probably several weeks too early, but I don't know anyone else in my new state. So, yeah, we're just checking everything off the list and getting it done like Mill spouses do.
That's what we do. That's what we do. So, Miss Allie, we're honored to have you at Mill Housing Nation. So we're going to just jump into the meat of things. I want to learn, A, more about your personal military spouse journey, and then your remote working and what National Military Family Association does, because you guys do some really amazing things with certifications and whatnot.
Yes, absolutely.
And then I want to talk about Prager's PCSing and all the chaos that goes with that. So how long have you been a military spouse and how many PCSs?
So we are coming up on our 6th wedding anniversary in July, so 6 years.
Where'd you guys meet?
And we have a great meet cute story. It's really long, but we basically met at an airport. Short of it, and our first date was on the plane ride, and we were both living in Kansas. He was stationed at Fort Riley in Manhattan, Kansas, and I was living in Kansas City and did a little bit of distance. It's just an hour or so. And then a year later, when he was, of course, home on R&R from a deployment in Afghanistan, we were engaged, and yeah, I guess the rest is history. So it's almost been 6 years.
Aww.
And if you count the PCS we are in the middle of, it'll be 4 PCSs.
Man, in 6 years.
In 6 years. Okay. So I feel like 4 sounds low, but I feel like 4 and 6 sounds.
That's moving and shaking.
We've been in Colorado Springs for 3 years, and that's the longest we've ever been anywhere.
Wow.
Together. So,
wow. Okay. Yeah. And you guys are Army.
Yep, and we're Army.
Yay, yes. Proud Army.
Definitely.
All right. So how has military life impacted your career?
So when I first moved to Washington, D.C., it was our first PCS from Kansas. That's when I really realized how this military life was going to impact my professional career and work side of things. I got to D.C. as a Midwest girl, kind of fish out of water. I thought I was ready for the big city, but it was a little intimidating, and I think a lot of military spouses go through that with new locations. Got my feet underneath me and started looking for a job. Thought D.C. would have tons of opportunities, but I was really struggling to land something. So I took a job in retail that I was way overqualified for, which I think a lot of people can relate to, while I continued to search for something that was a better fit. And I don't know if it was out of, I don't want to say sheer desperation, but a little desperation, I was Googling military, military spouses, military spouse work, and I came across the National Military Family Association. I think I emailed first. I might have picked up the phone and just asked, what are my resources? I need some guidance.
Help.
Help me. I am a newbie when it comes to this military life. I don't have uncles or grandparents or anything. I didn't have any connections to the military, so I was just totally at a loss. And they said, come back to us in a couple weeks. We might have a position open. So it kind of fell in my lap. I know that sounds really lucky, and I know it is, and I'm really fortunate. But they hired me on part-time to be a scholarship coordinator And I've been with them going on 6 years now.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. So pretty much the whole time you and your husband have been married,
yes.
you've been with the same organization.
Yep.
Wow.
And we have moved a couple times, but because they really believe in supporting military families, and that includes the spouses, they have let me take my job on the road and work remote from Arizona, Colorado, and soon to be California.
Hey, that's yeah. exciting.
Yeah,
okay.
It is. And I know I am so fortunate. I know too many spouses that don't have that situation. And so day to day, my work with NMFA is trying to help those spouses that maybe aren't in such a nice remote situation as I am.
Well, I'm excited because I know you've got some good tips that can help military spouses get into a similar situation if they are looking for a job and want to take it no matter where they go.
Yes.
And then I want to kind of talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of working remotely.
Yeah.
Because it can be a lonely road to hoe.
Yes, definitely.
So the work you do with National Military Family Association, which is based in Virginia, you live in Colorado Springs, so obviously you're telecommuting. So let's yep. walk through what that's like.
Yes.
So give us the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, so you always think time change first. They're mm-hmm. 2 hours ahead. And when I move to California in a couple weeks, it'll be 3 hours. Oh. Luckily, I'll have a little new baby alarm that I think I'll be up earlier than normal, so that shouldn't be too much of an adjustment. But I try to get on the clock by 7,
okay.
which is probably a little bit earlier than I would be in the office over there. And everything is remote. Everything is from my laptop. It is really nice, and working from home has so many positives, but there are a lot of challenges that go with it. It can be very isolating.
Mm-hmm.
I need to change the scenery every once in a while, so I'll try to find local coffee shops or even the public library.
Mm-hmm.
They have some quiet rooms that you can, you know, book ahead of time and work from there if you really need to just put your nose into your computer all day. And so doing that has helped a lot. And yeah, I just feel like it is a great situation. You have to really go above and beyond to stay connected to your office
mm-hmm.
and my office back east, so to speak. And by doing that, staying connected, you need to just stay in front of their faces.
Mm-hmm.
So we use modern technology. We're doing video conferencing a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see you being the first person in the office or the last person to leave. So I try to be on that phone call early before anyone calls in. So if they're on the call, you know, here I am, I'm ready for you. And using the video conferencing and just trying to be in the forefront of people's minds, because yes, I work remote, but you can kind of get forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. if you want to progress your career as well and not just stay in the position that you're at, I think you need to still kind of go above and beyond and make sure that, you know, you're still there and you're still getting your work done for the company.
Well, and I think that's a good thing to touch on, because I know that was one of the things I found most challenging when I telecommuted. So I was in a telecommunication position for about 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and it was really difficult. My husband actually ended up going on a deployment, and I went back east, and I noticed that it was so much easier with the face-to-face. So I think sometimes it's difficult being remote. And when you are remote, I found myself, wow, it's been a week and I haven't left this house.
I know. Getting out today, I'm like, okay, I'll shower and
uh-huh.
put on normal clothes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so getting into little routines that get you out of just staying behind your desk at home is really helpful. And I think you've probably experienced this. You want to show your worth still. And
mm-hmm.
that's really hard to do when you're not in the office at your desk in your chair all day. And I know you have to have big conversations. And it's a little more difficult not being there in person, but if you want to get that promotion and you want to progress and develop professionally, you really just have to kind of combat the nerves and pick up the phone and talk to the bosses and tell them, hey, I'm still here. This is what I'm putting forth, and I'd like some increased responsibility. I definitely hit, I think really when I met you, I was kind of at a plateau.
I remember this, yeah.
And I was like, I just am not sure where I'm going to go with mm-hmm. this job, and I really just had to kind of buckle down and ask them, you know, what is my future here and what the road ahead looks like. And of course, I love being remote, but is this really what I want to do? And am I going to continue to move up and up?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you can get past those like nerves and have those conversations, it's still possible to do that and to progress while you're remote.
Well, obviously, we've known each other for a couple of years, so I'm assuming that those conversations went
yes,
well
they
and
did.
All was good.
Yes, we still have a
okay.
job, so that's
oh, good.
Good.
This is a plus. This is
yes.
a win. Yeah, because
yeah.
I remember when we first met, you were considering making a swap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that is something to say about remote work. People say, oh, you would never, you know, give it up because it is so great. but it's definitely a challenge. And there are, you know, some negatives that come with it, but you just have to figure it out. And hey, I've done it for almost 5 years and I'm still figuring out what works for me. There's still different days that I feel more productive than the next, but you just have to make it work. And you kind of feel like you're on call all the time, your email's on your phone, but I think it's really all worth it to be able to keep that job, especially as a spouse who's going to move every 3 to 5 years.
And once you nail it, you're going to have a baby, and then the whole thing's going to get shaken up.
Like, how do you do this?
Hang on a second. Working mommy adds a whole nother level of fun.
Yeah, and I know so many people, oh, that's great, you work from home, you'll be able to have the kid. I'm like, I don't understand how I'm going to be able to get 8 hours a day in and still have a little one running around. So I'm still going to be hitting up the CYS and everything else that all the military spouses use.
So. Yep. I think the hardest thing when you have a baby and the perception that working from home, that you're at home and that it's not like, you know, you're doing actual work. And I tell a lot of military spouses that do, you know, think, you know, they want to be remote. And then I let them know, like, hey, it's a commitment and it's a job. So just like you wouldn't take baby to the office, you can't take baby at home because you can't give quality work on being mom when you're concentrating on work and vice versa.
Yeah.
And so I think it's not being fair to either one. And you're not being a great mom if you're concentrating completely on work.
I know. I think if we were to ask stay-at-home moms, like, would you also like to work 8 hours and do what you're doing now? It would be, it's impossible.
Yeah.
And so I'm definitely ready for the change, but I know it'll be another adjustment that I'll just have to figure out.
Yep. I remember my first year with Kennedy, I was working remotely. Nanny saved my life.
Yes.
And what I loved about it is I had somebody that would come to the house. It was an extra set of hands. I could still, full disclosure, breastfeed.
Yeah.
So it was great because baby was there. So I wasn't worried about, I know a lot of working moms do the pumping situation.
Oh, yeah. In the bathroom, in the office. Yes.
Yep. Luckily, the company I worked for had a dedicated room for that, which was nice.
Yes.
However, you know, having the baby there with me was great. All the drawbacks on that is when I hear baby crying, mama bear wants to step in, and you do get distracted. So it's a balance. It's a balance.
One of the good things, one of the best things I've learned from you, and it was one of the first times that I heard you speak, we talked about outsourcing.
Yes.
And using nannies and using daycare and using, you know, if you can, if you have the luxury to afford it, or you can, you have a support system, you have family, which I know is hard when you're a military spouse because sometimes family is across the other side of the country, but friends, whoever it may be, like being able to outsource some of those things, I'm definitely going to keep that in mind.
Yes. My good friend Lindsay Topleski, who was on the podcast, her and I, and I need to bring her back because she is the queen of outsourcing.
Yes.
And anything from meal prepping, you're going to need a housekeeper, honey.
Yes.
Get a housekeeper. Get an extra set of hands. And it's an opportunity to employ other military spouses since you're going to remote base. There's not a lot of job opportunities for military spouses. So there's a lot of younger spouses that are looking for caretaker positions, cleaning positions.
That's such a good point. Yeah, we are moving to Fort Irwin, California. It is in the middle of the Mojave Desert. If you use Google Maps and zoom in, like, all you're seeing is
Mojave. Where is it?
Yeah, and so, and I'm not a great cook, and I know the transition to motherhood will be a challenge, and so I think that's so smart, too, to reach out to the people that are in the community already, because if you don't have remote work and you're at a remote base, it's, you know,
really difficult.
Yeah, resources are limited.
Yep. So I know a lot of military spouses would probably love to come and give an extra set of hands. And just if you have somebody for like a good 6 to 8 hours while you're working. And then I will tell you this, personal care. Not enough mommies do personal care. So it's one thing to have help while you're working.
Yeah.
I would also have my nanny stay an extra hour so that I could get a run in. I am a mess if I don't work out. Yeah. Audrey, my assistant, knows this. And she pushes me out the door daily.
Lindsay, I think you need to go exercise.
And when you're a new mom, the hormones and everything are going. It's a new schedule and it's your first baby. So it's really difficult to try and figure out, like, how do I make this work?
Yeah.
Make sure you schedule some personal time. If it's not every day, it's one day a week. Do it. It will keep you sane.
I think that is so important, too, especially on the remote side and telework side of things. Because you are home all day, I will have days where I haven't left the house and my husband comes home and, you know, he needs to decompress and have his things. But it's, you can go a little stir crazy. And yes, you're home, so you have the luxury of, okay, I can work from my couch with my laptop on my lap. But you're still working and you're still, your mind is still on for those 8 hours. And I think you kind of forget, like, oh, I've been home all day. I haven't done much. Like, well, you put in an entire day's worth of work,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing that over and over, and maybe you haven't seen civilization in a while, or, you know, been in contact with another human other than your spouse. So that is definitely a good point to, like, self-care. Mm-hmm. And
self-care. Moms don't do it enough.
Yeah, I'm sure with motherhood on the horizon. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it. I had a massage the other day. I'm, like, all for it. So.
Oh, just wait, girlfriend. Yeah. Just wait. All the little things that you took for granted went before kids, like, yes. just going to the gym when you wanted to, mm-hmm. maybe eating, going to the bathroom when you wanted to alone. It's all going to end, honey. It's all going
to
end.
Get used to it. Oh, gosh. All right.
Yes, yes. All right. So for any of our military spouse listeners that are listening that want to educate their education or careers, you guys do a lot with that, and especially you with your program funding.
Yes.
So tell us more.
So the National Military Family Association, we're a nonprofit.
Okay.
We're actually coming up on our 50th year, which
congratulations.
Is huge. Thanks. Hopefully we're planning some major D.C. gala that I'll be able to go back to the office for. But it's going to be a big
National
year. Yes.
Family.
That is another thing for remote work. If you can go back to your headquarters every once in a while, I think that's important.
Huge difference.
Put in some FaceTime, yep. and my motivation, my drive is heightened after I leave a visit.
Of course.
From HQ.
You feel connected.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like everything else. I mean,
your
it's
task
really...
list grows by leaps and bounds with those in-person meetings, but it definitely at least once a year, if you can do it once a quarter. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge.
And negotiate that with your company to pay
absolutely.
For it. That was something that a lot of military spouses don't go into the job interview to
yes.
do. So I'm telling you now, negotiate the travel. And I will say, I agree with you. I think once a quarter is optimal.
Yeah.
And if you can do it more frequently, given your family situation, the better.
Yes.
But when you have that FaceTime, it is invaluable.
Yep. You're not taking up a desk in their office.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can fly, you know, they should be able to fly you out, put you up for a couple days. Also, NMFA pays for my wireless. You
mm-hmm.
know, you're working at home in that home office. So
mm-hmm.
those are other things to negotiate as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to make the leap, if you're PCSing and you want to keep your job and you have to go in and kind of make that pitch, which I know we both
mm-hmm.
had to do, there's so many different things that you can bring to the table.
Yep.
And just
yep.
get creative with
and
it.
You save the company money. I mean,
yes.
one of the things that I always mention is that it costs on average about $50,000 to replace the average worker
yep.
when they walk out the door because of the training investments, the office space, all the things.
Yes.
Do your research. Know how much it's going to cost for them to hire another person in your replace,
yep.
in your replacement position, and then show them how you will save them money by working
100%.
Remotely.
And I think military spouses value remote work so much more. What is it nowadays? Especially, I'm a millennial, so this isn't like a bash on millennials, but we only stay at our jobs for like 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I think
two to three
was one of the most recent
yeah.
studies I heard.
So that excuse of, oh, you'll leave in the next couple years, like that one is sad and old because
right.
anyone's going to just stay that long now. So I think once you can get past the fear and pitch them remote and let them know that you will value this and you're going to stay longer because of it is another thing you can negotiate.
Oh, absolutely. And I think long gone are the days where somebody's going to stay with one corporation for 20 years.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
I mean, now everybody's got 2 to 3 different career fields and industries that they've been in by the time
yes.
they hit retirement.
Especially spouses, yes.
Yes.
Well, so speaking of NMFA and what we do for education and career towards spouses, I run our scholarship program.
Mm-hmm.
And each year we have two different cycles, one in the summer, spring, and one in the winter and fall. And the application process is pretty simple. It's like a survey and then a typical essay. We have volunteers that judge the essay, and then we score everybody, and depending on our funding, figure out who we can award. We typically award about 600 spouses a year.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great. It is competitive. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, you apply and you get it. It's definitely competitive. And there are some awesome spouses out there that are applying. So I always tell people, take your time and really consider what you're writing in the essay, because you are going up against some really powerhouse people. But not only do we award the scholarships for degree seekers, which is a pretty traditional thing for a scholarship program to do, but we award scholarships for licensing and certifications.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
like real estate licensing.
Yeah.
All right.
I was going to say some listeners might resonate with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so common that a military spouse has a license, has
mm-hmm.
a certification. They are required to have it legally to get
mm-hmm.
work done. for real estate or whether it's law, teaching,
cosmetology.
Nursing is huge among the military spouse population. And every time you move, you have to pay those state fees. Sometimes you have to take additional classes. So yeah, you can apply for scholarships to cover all of those expenses as well.
That's amazing.
Yes, I think it's huge. I think it's really important. It sets our program apart. There's not a lot of programs that cover expenses like that, and they try to stay closer to the associate's and bachelor's degrees. So it's something that I'm really proud of that we do.
That's amazing. I love that you guys do that, because I know a lot of military spouses, that isn't one of their first questions that they ask, is like, you know, hey, because we've got such a checkered past of all the different moves. They're like, I was a teacher here, and then I got this certification, and now I'm a personal trainer, and now I want to get into real estate. And by that point, they've exhausted a lot of the abilities to get funding for the different certifications. Because there's so many out there, and it's awesome. So I love that your organization does that for them.
Yeah, and you can apply year after year.
Oh, wow.
You can win year after year. I know this might be of interest to you. We just launched we just started awarding scholarships for business owners.
Oh, wow.
And so spouses that are starting their own business, maybe turning their side gig into something more permanent, more full-time, they can apply for scholarships as well, whether it's for marketing expenses or inventory.
Okay.
There's a lot of spouses that are doing direct sales that have buy-ins that they need to do. And so we are awarding people for those as well.
Oh, that's amazing. Yes. Oh, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Oh, hey, power to the entrepreneur.
Yeah, and it can be for a startup, total startup, or someone who's been established. So if you are entrepreneurial and you have your mind, you know, made up and you're going to do it and you have a plan in place and you need some funding, you know, we're not probably not going to be able to give you all your capital, but I think any little bit helps.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So where do people go if they want to learn more about how to apply for the various scholarships and just more about the organization?
Yeah, militaryfamily.org is NMFA's website, the National Military Family Association. It took me maybe 3 years to be able to say that without stumbling over it.
It is a little bit of a mouthful.
It's like a blessing and a curse with branding. But yeah, militaryfamily.org, and it has all of our information about our scholarships and some of our other programs. We do camps for kids and stuff like that as well, and we have a big government relations team that also is on Capitol Hill in D.C. Day-to-day advocating on behalf of military families and some of the benefits that the families have and we hope to keep in the future.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a cause worth advocating
for. Yes, and they advocate for licensing reciprocity. That's a big thing that I work with them on. We work with the state liaison offices trying to figure out what we can do to make that process easier. Because why is there not a national nurse certification? How is nursing in one state different than another? I don't understand. Same with real estate, but, you know, states each have their own laws and things like that. And so it's definitely a complicated issue, but we have people on the ground trying to work with legislators and policymakers to make it easier for spouses.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So all of Allie's information is going to be in our show notes. And so we're going to include the link to the website on where they can go. And if listeners want to get connected with Allie, they can visit us on Mill Housing Network, MILHousingNetwork.com. You're going to want to click on podcast and look for Allie's episode. And while you're on the podcast page, take a moment to browse some of our past episodes. Like I mentioned, my good friend Lindsay was interviewed, and we've got some good tips on there as well. And if you want to opt in to work with one of our amazing realtors or get matched or learn more about our matching program, you can do that on our website, or you could be like Miss Allie here and be a guest on one of our upcoming shows. And so while you're there, don't forget to also sign up for our weekly podcast alerts, because we are now in iTunes, and you can subscribe by visiting us online. Well, that's all we have for today. So, Miss Allie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And
congratulations on baby number one.
Thank you. And I will call in next time from California.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully we can get Cece, too.
Get Cece, absolutely.
Get some Mill Spouse Trio going.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So, I'm Lindsay Linton. Thank you guys so much for listening to us today. And join us next time as we interview more PCS pros. So that's all we have for today. Mill Housing Nation listeners, we will chat soon.